Hello, welcome to the Roll Less Taken Campfire. I have no idea what episode this is because I have lost count. I am Graham, and I am once again joined by my delightful co-players, co-GMs. Tell us about yourselves.
Hi, I'm Mickey. My pronouns are they, them. I play Achille, who uses any and all pronouns.
Hey, I'm Em, and I play Sean, and we both use they, them pronouns.
Hey, I am Chris, and I use any pronouns. I forgot for a second what pronouns I use. And I play Sabrina, who uses she, her pronouns.
And I'm playing Jet, who uses ZZR pronouns, and you can use they or he pronouns for me. All right. Last time on this podcast, what happened, y'all?
My gosh, so much stuff.
What happened, person who kept notes?
We had a very fun camper scene. Where the campers were sitting around the fire, making marshmallows and hot dogs. And Zach was sharing kind of what they went through. Zach was one of our camper characters. And we had a ritual happen. And I think it was the white rabbits.
Oh, I think we introduced a strangeness element. That was the paper thin hairs.
Thank you. So close. Well, because all I wrote was what they said, which is not who they are. But I think they said, thing said, thing said, thing written, done to deal.
Yes.
Which was very creepy.
And we have no idea what that means.
But we do know that it's an answer. It's an answer to a question to be asked or something.
I think so.
It's a key.
As part of like the strangeness element, yes.
Provided a key.
And I think Mickey knows what that means, but won't tell us yet.
They're keeping it a secret.
I'm waggling my eyebrows for those at home. You can't see my aggressive eyebrow waggle.
For those watching with your ears. And then the counselors had something weird happen too, because the counselors were like kind of nearby, talking about all the weird stuff that was happening, and they saw some like gross rabbits that were like fleshy and dead
and weird.
And then the campers talked to the counselors about the rabbits and were like, they each thought they knew what the other was talking about, but they did not.
Yes, indeed.
And I think we decided as a group to go check out the grave that Alphonse dug before he got yanked into the abyss.
Yes. And that would explain, I have written, I think we came up with dances or like a gesture to do so that we would recognize everybody as actually being, you know, themselves and not a flesh type.
We had a custom dance.
Yes.
Yes. Sabrina, hot potato. Sean, wavy arms. Achille, voguing. And Jet, the Macarena.
The Macarena badly.
But, yes.
Because I, Graham, the player, don't totally know what all the moves are anymore because it's been so long.
The Macarena. From all of those elementary and middle school dances, that's the only place I remember doing it.
I think I saw it done at karaoke once, and the person who picked it realized that there were a lot more words than hey Macarena, and it was kind of all over for them at that point.
Oh, I love it.
It was too late. They had made a choice and they regretted it. Anyway.
Yes.
So yeah, where should we pick up? Did we want to make any preparations before we head out to the grave ?
That is a great question.
Still the evening of, yes?
Yeah.
Late night.
Same night. I think we
darky dark.
Heard all the shrieking. When we officially like left off, all of the campers had been like screaming, and I think we were just like gonna put everybody to bed and then go check out the grave.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember right. And there's no guarantee.
I think you do remember correctly.
Yeah. So is there anything that we want to do before we go? Anything we want to pick up and bring with us?
I think one of Oh, what'd you say, Mickey?
A shovel.
Good idea.
Smart.
Very necessary.
Maybe more than one shovel, depending. I don't recall how big this pile possibly was, so.
I don't think we really got a good look at it. We just kind of saw Alphonse, like, waist deep in it or something, like, digging. And then we saw some sort of, like, I think it was, like, a wooden cross, like a made out of sticks or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right, a grave marker.
Yeah, some sort of grave marker is on it.
Should we in this be... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to suggest that we bring the magical lantern with the justification that before we go, we put some oil in it in case the batteries in our flashlights go, then we've got a backup light source because we don't currently know whether it's magical.
Yes.
I was going to suggest maybe in the spirit of not getting lost in these woods that like to eat people, at least one of us tie something that we can tie back to somewhere in camp. And then we kind of all link up or stay close by.
That's a good call. I did also remember, because I edited the episode the other day, that Achille has a compass.
Beautiful. And is it looking through my notes? Which are not as thorough as M's, I'm sure. You always do a good job of taking notes. I'm just going to control. I'm trying to remember what the compass does. Oh, I found it while lost in the woods, and it will always, and it leads you out of the woods.
Yeah, I think it's just like a normal compass, but like it, you know, works. I don't.
When there's shenanigans afoot.
Right, right. Unless we want it to turn out to be magical, that could always be a plot twist in the overall character arc of the compass. Everybody's favorite character in this podcast.
Magic.
Cool.
I like the idea of it always pointing out of the forest.
Mm. Or maybe always pointing back to the camp.
Mm.
Or maybe specifically the campfire. Like whatever point is considered the current camp's campfire, that's where it points to.
Since it's moved now.
Mm. That could be interesting. Magic compass, magic question mark lantern. I don't know why I keep doing a question mark symbol with my hands on a podcast that nobody can hear.
Nobody can see.
Yes. I am also doing it very quietly.
Well, they can't hear it either.
Yeah. Both. Did anybody else have any other prep they wanted to do before we went about our business? I was going to also say maybe we should. I was going to say maybe we should bring a walkie-talkie with us as well, just in case.
Good idea. I will grab the rope.
Okay.
To tie us to the camp.
Is it like one of those nylon pool ropes that's like sort of yellow and blue?
It's for sure like from the lake, so like still has some like moss and stuff on it. It's not the cleanest thing, but it's long.
Okay.
So that's a positive.
I like it.
Maybe a few floaties on it.
Nice. All right. Yeah, let's go. Let's go into the woods. Let's venture into the woods. I'm thinking it's like, you know, late at night, the campers have gone to bed. It's, you know, at least 11 o'clock because we're sure that everybody's asleep. Or at least in their cabins. And we are just kind of crossing the bridge made out of roots, crossing the remains of the field and just kind of going in probably as close to the, you know, question mark gravesite as we can find. I don't think we actually have it on the map, but...
I don't think we put it on there.
I'm assuming it's somewhere between the name tree and the fire pit, the old fire pit.
Someone draw a dot.
I am drawing I was going to draw an X. It's maybe like...
Even better.
There we go. So yeah, we are heading that direction.
Perfect.
Cool. Does anybody have any...
So...
Yeah, go for it.
I was just going to role play a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We're walking into the forest. It's a little creepy. Are we like all holding hands? Are we just going for it? Is it like an easy journey?
It's a good question.
I like the idea of having, we're cautious, but we've been around the trees a little bit now, and we're not holding hands, but we are very, very huddled. Maybe like everybody's kind of really in a little circle, and everybody's kind of taking a lodge on a particular side, covering all of our backs as we move forward. I'll also fly. I think Sabrina is holding the flashlight. I'm sure there are multiple, but she's got a flashlight and she's like clutching it really close and like being careful to aim it like back and forth up at the ground and right in front so that nobody trips and falls.
We got this rope, so I'm going to just like slowly lay it down on the ground as we're going, standing close to everybody.
That sounds reasonable. I think Jet is kind of like, you know, holding flashlight in one hand, has like a lantern, maybe on a backpack. Maybe Jet brought a backpack and just kind of like tied the lantern there and put any of the other supplies that we need into it. Probably has snacks because Jet is a big proponent of snacks. So there's definitely some trail mix.
Say, Achilles' eyes are more darty than usual, darting from side to side. It's like Achilles is trying to remember every tree, every rock, every landmark. Achilles is internally trying to memorize.
I'm kind of looking at the thing. All right. I was looking at the elements to see if there was anything I wanted to throw. We could also just invite the Lindworm to act, but we could also do that after we've dug it, you know, checked out this grave marker.
Let's do the grave marker.
Okay. If I recall, what we described it as was basically just like, we saw Alphonse digging, we saw some sort of wooden grave marker, but at the time, Achilles had been stabbed, Jet had been punched with brass knuckles, and everybody was going to the nurse.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't really have time to deal with it at that point. I think, Mickey, you kind of brought it into the world. Did you have anything in specific in mind? Or
I did not. I think it is safe to say the grave holds at least one secret. My vision was that essentially someone who was trusted was suddenly not trusted, and that unsettled. So I did have in mind for the grave something sinister, but nothing beyond that. I can role play it and kind of go with it if you want, or narrate what's in there when we do get to it.
We can do that. I also thought about that, the well, going down the well, down the abandoned well ritual. We could potentially tweak it slightly to be like when we get there, we start digging it up, and then we find that it's actually a passage that goes much, much deeper. So we start using that.
I also had an idea, but I really like both of these ideas, so I kind of want to see where they go.
I wanna give it to us, Chris.
Yeah.
Well, mine is. I feel like if I tell everything, then it kind of takes away what actually happens. But I kind of had a thought in my head, I'll just to start off. We get to it, and it looks like it's already been dug up again.
Ooh.
That's creepy, too.
And I have an idea for what was inside or who dug it up, but it's if we want to go down that route. So,
I mean, we could use the ritual to sort of explore that.
I think my vote would be, I like this idea, Chris. I like the vision for it. And I like the ritual of inviting the Lindworm to act.
Okay.
I think I like the well, but I feel like I want to save it.
Okay. That works.
Just for my own reference, where is the well? Is that in the regular playbook?
I sent a drive link to it because an acquaintance of mine put it out.
It's a new one. Oh, I see. That's the name of the. Okay, yeah. I get it.
There are this.
Oh yeah, we don't have a physical wall.
No, we don't. Yeah, I was going to say the person who made this is actually doing three rituals, and they put out the second one recently, and it's just going to a Walmart. Which I find really endearing.
Anyway. Wow. That's
fantastic. Yeah. So anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go for...
Yeah.
I will draw three cards for the Lindworm.
Guys, like, show us your secrets.
Say that again, either of you.
I said, Chris, show us your secrets.
Like, we walk up.
Curious, like, what does she have? Like, what are you thinking?
What? Let's see what the Lindworm, let's see what the cards pull, because maybe if Clara, like, if the stars are aligned very, very well, one of the cards will match up to what I'm already thinking.
Ooh.
If not, shit. We'll improvise.
I got, let's see. What do I discard at the moment? I'm discarding hearts or spades with a face on them. So discard that. And discard that. All right, so I got the six of clubs, the six of spades, and the two of clubs, which I am looking up. But if anybody gets there first.
I can do the, you said spades?
Yeah, I got six of clubs and six of spades.
Six of spades is, don't you remember what I did to you?
Ooh.
Answer, what does my character most regret in life?
The two of clubs I don't think quite works because it's jolted awake, reality melting, campers having nightmare during the day, which doesn't, I think, fit this specific situation, but I do like that a lot. Six of clubs is confusion, mists pushing people against each other. One camper lashes out against another. Who and why?
Wait, did you read two of spades yet?
Oh, I read two of clubs. Sorry, two of spades is their body is my plaything. Destroy a minor character card who isn't a camper. That character's body is now the Lindworm's form. Do not roleplay as the Lindworm.
Oh my god.
Did the cards align?
The cards kind of aligned.
Oh.
What? Which one was that? The one that fit?
Was it the two of spades, the Lindworm one?
Two of spades, yes.
Yeah.
Let me just, I'm a visual learner. I need to read the words, but I need to find it first. Yeah. What page?
Here's 77.
It is page, yeah.
77.
I feel like I'm reading this is like a choose your own adventure book.
Mm.
And like, this is about to reveal what the next page is.
Dun, dun, dun.
We have to keep our finger in the page that we came from, though, just so we don't lose our place in case it's bad.
You got it. Like, I sometimes, like, I'm a couple sections back.
Oh, yeah.
Just in case.
Like, four fingers in, yeah. Like.
Mm-hmm. It's like one hand is sacrificed to the book.
Yeah.
Do not roleplay as the Lindworm.
I'm a sucker for roleplay stuff, so can we, like, be our characters as we walk up to the grave.
Absolutely.
And Chris, I feel like you're leading the narration on this.
Okay. I will do my best.
Okay.
Okay, so let's just start. Let's really dive into the scene before we get to the goods. So the forest is dark. It's misty. You hear the crackling of footsteps along the trees and the crumpled leaves and dirt, the subtle pitter-patter of a rope being laid behind us as we are walking, and maybe the occasional tiny crunch of cashews and raisins and such from Jet's backpack. We are walking. You see there's two clear lights, one coming from Sabrina, one coming from Jet. One is visibly shakier than the other as it is lighting your way, but you know that you are heading, or you think you're heading, in the general direction that we saw this grave. And slowly you can see it kind of coming up in the horizon, what looks like two light, like maybe sun bleached, but you don't know how because we're in a very dark and damp forest, sticks in a distinctive X shape, just off in the distance, a few yards forward as we're approaching.
We're almost there. How's everybody doing?
Okay, 200 yards back, there's a tree that has a orange moss on it, and then we took a left there, so we will have to take a right on our way back. I'm good. I've got it all, you know. It's not going to happen again. I've got it all.
Anybody need a Nutri-Grain bar?
Can't eat right now.
Okay. Nope. They're just, you know, we may not have a chance to snack later.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
Jeff, I do not know how you eat these. This American food is so, so fake. You should have an apple instead.
Jeff just munches on a Nutri-Grain bar. In silence.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, if I'm going to be fighting something, I just want to make sure I got a full belly, got all my energy up.
Amidst the crackling of your Nutri-Grain bar, you maybe hear what sounds like shuffling coming up ahead in the direction of our destination.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Just shining.
Cannot be good. Could be the woods moving again.
I feel like Sean would like immediately grab the closest hand to them. Just like, oh my god.
Just shining a flashlight and just like looking for any signs of movement.
It's Achilles' hand and it doesn't exactly like hold yours back. It's just like kind of like just a limp hand.
Sean gives zero shits and is just like, it's okay, but we're still walking, right? Okay.
Jet's shining the light, and you don't see any movement, but you are coming up on the grave. And if you get close enough to the sticks, you notice that the dirt looks recently disturbed.
Yes. Yep.
Go ahead, Akili.
Something called out. I do not know. Someone come back for it.
Does somebody want to go and check it? We came here to check it, right?
Yeah.
We did?
I'll go, Jet says, rushing into danger.
Oh, be careful. Oh my goodness, go slow.
This is a regular move, I think. It's take action, leaving yourself vulnerable.
Yes.
So Jet is kind of grabbing, I think he maybe has like one of those collapsible shovels in the backpack, just kind of goes forward with that. Half as a weapon, half to dig up if needed. I'm kind of liking the
image. Can I say that as, yeah, I was going to say, as you pull it out, it like snaps together.
Yep. like a weapon, just like whoosh, from a back sheath, except it's just a shovel. And yeah, Jet is going to go wander up to the grave and start of check it out. Get ready to whack something with a shovel if needed.
Up to the grave, imagine, looks down into the pile and you notice that it's been undug about 6 feet deep. And there are tattered clothes or fabric at the bottom.
Oh, there's
Ned.
Do we recognize these clothes? Whose clothes are these? That is half a question in character and half a question out of character.
The time is getting lost on me. I don't know how many days it's been since the big crevasse in the ground and the grave such. How long ago was that?
To be fair, I don't think we do either. Time started behaving funny.
Time did start behaving funny.
Yeah.
I think from our perspective, it's probably within like the last 48 hours or so.
Oh yeah, still fresh. Well then, are you shining the flashlight? And if you're asking this, I imagine you're shining the flashlight into the hole, yeah?
Yep.
The fabric looks like maybe bits and pieces of jeans, one shoe, and kind of pieces of a shirt, and you think the colors are the same clothes that you saw Alphonse wearing the last time you did see him.
Yeah, Jet's grip tightens on the shovel. Do we find the flask in there?
My gosh, we have to find the flask.
Jet, what do you see? Jet, what is it? Oh my god, do not go in. Don't go in.
Jet's just still standing there looking like, I'm not going. It just It looks like Alphonse's jeans, and didn't he have, like, I don't know, like running shoes like this? Isn't that, I don't know, somebody come look.
Sabrina will kind of, she's always in her hunched position, she'll kind of stand up straight again, hold the flashlight as firm as she can, and takes a few steps forward to meet you, looking down into the hole. Yeah, that looks like his shoes, but wasn't he wearing them when we saw him last? Mm-hmm. Did he have multiple pairs? Maybe he's just really meticulous and he brought multiple pairs of the same shoes to camp?
Maybe.
I doubt that.
I mean, I got two pairs of Converse, but they're different colors. Put the wrong one on the other day.
At that comment, there is a rustle. Again, straight ahead, behind, so like, well, visuals won't help the viewers. Okay, I'm going to be descriptive. It's ahead. It's in front of Jet and Sabrina. Ahead, past the X in the grave, but not too far. Really close. Maybe there's like a tree there. And you hear rustling coming from just behind that tree. Like a yard away. And Sabrina's going to immediately aim the flashlight wide-eyed over at that spot. Like, what is it? What? Do you guys hear that too? Who's there?
Oh, I hear it. Hello, show yourself.
Jet puts down his flashlight, or his ear flashlight, and grabs the shovel with the other hand. It's now a Zweihander shovel. It's also like 3 feet long, so it's not really a great weapon in retrospect, but...
It's a melee weapon, should it come to that.
You know, we know how to get out of the woods, so you won't trap us here.
Cautiously take a step towards it.
Go for it. A figure, as you are taking a step, a figure takes a step, like mirroring your own, kind of coming out into the out from behind the tree, and the flashlights are on it, and all you see is the visage of a person, flesh and muscle and bone and tattered clothes. And that's it.
No skin?
Some skin, but mostly not, no. Like, in the process of shedding skin and bearing all of the layers underneath.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
Sabrina drops her flashlight right into the ditch with the clothes.
Sean, I step forward. I think this might be a job for me. And I'm gonna like hesitantly like step in front of everybody, and I'm going to try to do one of my strong moves, which is perform the death's journey.
Oh.
Which I'm interpreting as helping one pass after death.
There is a ritual for it.
Ooh. Is there?
Yeah, it's in the Uncanny Book.
Ooh.
So to start the ritual, choose a single law of death that doesn't have to be followed. Say the name of the person you're here to rescue, silence, and a brief moment of everyone holding their breath.
Oh my goodness, I didn't even know this was...
The laws of death are: do not step off the boat, do not touch the water, do not touch anyone else, do not say anyone's names, don't fall asleep, don't spill your own blood, and don't look back.
Okay, so we pick a single law of death that does not have to be followed.
Yep, you do specifically. It is page 50 of the Uncanny Book if you're playing along.
Yeah, I got it. 50.
Yep.
Page 50. Oh, I'm so excited. Okay. This is why I'm here. The rule that does not have to be followed is don't spill your own blood. So, moving on to the moves. I don't know if that means that I have to do that rule now. Like, should I, you know, should Sean, like, cut themselves? Or should I just... do a move first?
So
I'd say whatever feels right to your character.
Yeah. It looks like a lot of the moves are about, like, almost breaking the rule but getting caught, like somebody catching you before you do. And then...
Yes.
If you... As we go, we place a hand over our eyes and then go silent. And then when everybody's got their hands over their eyes, then we've found the person we're looking for and we can return them to the land of the living.
Okay. I guess Sean will start it off. And I'm going to just say, we're gonna help Alphonse pass. And I'm going to choose one to describe. And it's going to be the wooden canoe, because Sean is of the water.
Mm.
And I imagine that this, it's almost as if while we're doing this ritual, we've all joined this weird fleshy being in a canoe and we're rowing it forward to help it help. Whatever it is, make its journey.
I'm kind of almost picturing, like, the grave becomes like a canoe. Like, we're all kind of standing around, and it sort of... It starts to feel like we're standing on a canoe. Like, all of us are standing on the canoe. And the, this figure is kind of at the edge.
Love it.
I think maybe I'm a combined two. And, like, we see, like, the mists kind of raising, like, starting to sort of filter, like, seep in through the trees, and not coming from the figure, but we do see, like, a face in the mist, and it is Alphonse's face. It's a face that we recognize, a face that we, you know pretty well, this kind of grumpy ropes keeper who's also the person you go to if you want, like, a little tipple of whiskey. Just kind of, you know, poking out of the mist, but not near his own body. Which is combining the unexpected metaphor, we've got this face in the mist that is kind of, it's weirdly comforting for a moment like this, to see the person that we recognize, even though their potentially animated body is standing nearby. And this is also catching a glimpse of the person we're looking for.
Nice.
Who's next?
Are we each describing one?
I think each...
I also wasn't sure.
I think we all make moves, right?
Yeah, we all make moves until everybody's got their hands over their eyes.
Page 54 of the Uncanny Expansion?
Just 50.
50.
I'm offline.
I can read them out loud, too.
Sure.
For the viewers at home. So there's the choose one and describe the unexpected metaphor, and the example metaphors are a familiar face in the mist, grasping hands, the wooden canoe, the still waters, the thick mist, the sallow moon, and then the creatures at the edge of your vision. The next move is almost break a rule, but catch yourself. And then almost break a rule, but ask the table to catch you. Lose something that matters to you in the still water. Catch a glimpse of the person you're looking for. Place one hand over your eyes, go silent, and take no further moves. Or break a rule and die. Cover both of your eyes with your hands.
Okay, I have an idea. Player, I do need to step out of game to ask this of Graham. You know, at one point, Graham, you were ready for Jet to pass in the game. Is that still true?
I'd be down.
Okay.
It could be here or it could be another point. I've been looking for an opportunity.
I could see one.
Mm.
I think one of the moves was to lose something you care about or lose something you love. I imagine as Jet sees a familiar face in the mist, it's comforting to Jet, but it's horrifying to everyone else. It's like looking at rage incarnate. Honestly, after seeing it, none of us could even describe what we saw, because it is blood, it is hunger, it is deception and cruelty and violence. It's disgusting to look at and horrifying all at once. But Jet seems to have a nice, calm, peaceful demeanor towards what would terrify the rest of us in the mist. And then I imagine that Jet steps out of the canoe into the still waters, which are the earth.
I think...
we...
oh, no, finish.
Yeah, go ahead. And then I would imagine that...
Mickey's imagination is too big for this podcast.
Left us hanging.
What do they imagine? Oh, man.
Sorry, every time.
The suspense is killing us.
You said, I imagine that.
Oh, I imagine that Jet steps into the mist. The mist envelops Jet.
Actually, I have... Can I pitch this instead?
Please. Yeah, this is your character. How are we going to...
how are we
going to
kill me?
Murder the most beautiful, wholesome, like character.
I think... perhaps I'm about to step out of the boat and then you catch me. Somebody else catches me. But perhaps in a couple minutes, somebody else has a reaction where they almost fall out of the boat. Or perhaps part of it is that you fall out of the boat and then Jet, like trying to save... you try to save Jet and then Jet tries to save you. And then Jet falls into the water.
However you want, however Jet goes, I think it's your call.
This is what I needed.
Yeah. Do you want to narrate it for us, Graham?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. So yeah, I'm thinking like, you know, everybody else is kind of reviled and repulsed, and you see, you know, Jet kind of takes like a step forward, and then somebody reaches, I think Achille reaches forward and just kind of grabs Jet's shoulder and pulls him back. And then there are more faces in the mist, and it's the people that we have lost in the past start appearing in the edges of the mist. Mm. And again, Jet sees them as very comforting and calming, but to the rest of you, they are creatures. They are not those comforting things. And I think maybe somebody that Achille has lost in the past is the one that kind of gets just a little too close to the boat, a little too fast, and kind of makes Achille jump and like start to fall backwards. And that's where Jet kind of grabs, like goes into action mode, spins around, tries to grab and push Achille back into the boat, the grave boat, and sort of falls out and is gone. Is just no longer in this weird vision. So I've got my hands over my eyes now. Out of curiosity, who did Achille see that was sort of terrifying and not comforting? But long lost.
Achille is in a sea of emotions and a sea of memories as soon as she lays her eyes on her sister. And as Achille reaches out toward that familiar presence, yet not familiar, Achille loses his balance, only to be caught and brought back in by Jet. And then moments later, having lost everything all over again, Achille is as broken as a person can be.
Did Achille's sister go to the camp and just never came home?
Yeah. Part of why Achille is back in the world.
We're in this weird space, mist all around. A boat has suddenly appeared beneath our feet. And like a flash, Jet is suddenly disappeared from this space with us. Just standing right beside Sabrina, and she is in absolute shock right after this wave of terror from all of these faces and this mangled body. And she, her voice swells up to call out and to shout, Jet. But she catches herself. And she doesn't. And that will be the move, almost break a rule, but catch herself.
Sean, in this moment, seeing all this happen, kind of like recognizes that it's time. And like, we'll like reach over to Achille and like help their elbow as Sean just kind of covers their eyes. So if we want to end the ritual, we can all cover our eyes.
Mm. Yeah, Killy will put their hands in their eyes, like just like in a crumpled mess on the ground.
Sabrina sort of looks to both Akili and Sean, and she will place her hands over her eyes.
With that, we feel the solid earth back beneath our feet. No longer like we're on this swaying canoe in limbo, but the warm earth, the smell of the forest. The grave is still there, but none of the creature that we had previously seen. But also, Jet's body is not there.
Yeah, I imagine it would go as the mist went, and maybe not even be dragged into the mist, but in the same way that mist becomes many pixels of water in the air, Jet's body becomes part of that fog and almost blows away with it.
I imagine it's time to cry. So Sean will for sure be on the ground, on their knees, ideally with their friends in a little crumpled ball, crying together.
I think that's a good call.
No words.
I think that Akili will be still on the ground in a ball, rocking back and forth, and we'll just say on repeat, je ne regarderai, je ne regarderai, je ne regarderai, je ne regarderai, and just devolve into nonsense in French. He's just mumbling to himself, I won't watch, I won't look, I won't watch, I won't look. Like,
so I've got an idea for what comes next. Unless anybody else has something.
Hit us with it, Graham.
Give it to us.
I think at this point, there is a booming voice that sort of echoes in the clearing and sounds like, it sounds like, I'm trying not to go with the cliche of it sounding like a grave, but it just kind of, it sounds like a, like the woods through a weeping willow, or the wind through a weeping willow tree over a graveyard. Ooh. And it says, both loud and quiet, I must keep something beneath the mountain, but for that price I will answer one question. And the voice kind of coalesces into, I think behind the like sort of sun-bleached grave marker, this figure that looks like a deer skeleton or deer skull kind of like resolves out of the wood of the thing. And then it's wearing like a suit of armor. There's just this big like buff looking deer-headed skeleton thing, which is, I'm bringing in the Underhill King. I think there is like even a shadow of a crown that kind of like hovers around its head. That looks, it looks like a, I mean, I'm kind of picturing like in the Ron Perlman Hellboy movie, there's like a crown made of flame that floats over his head. It's that, but made out of shadow. And yeah, it this being, he just says, like, the price has been paid. You may ask me anything.
Je ne regarderai. Je ne regarderai. Je ne regarderai. Akili just continues to cover their eyes and chant. Akili's out of commission for a moment.
Why does the camp keep taking people we love?
This figure doesn't really move, but it sort of sits and it's almost like you can hear it take a sigh, but it doesn't appear to actually exhale and it says, "That is perhaps the wrong question. The camp takes what it must, and what it must happens to be the things that you love. And it isn't the camp. You know the name of the thing that is taking them, just as I once knew it, although I knew it differently." And there's like a slight tenderness to the way that he says differently. And then after a moment, he goes, "But no more." I think the longer you are all standing there, there's also just like the scent of rain gets stronger and stronger as he's standing there, even though it isn't raining. It's just dark.
We ask it more questions. Does anybody else have any more questions?
One of his moves is answer a question for a price. And another of his moves is keep something beneath the mountain. So
what was the price?
I think he's keeping Jet beneath the mountain now. He does also have choose two desires and choose two aesthetic elements if we want to do that while we're kind of thinking about our next move.
Yes.
The two desires, return to glory, fight all, confront the weak, rip love away, conquer and assert power.
Are these the desires of
the Underhill King?
Of the king?
Yep.
Okay. I'm like, I don't want any of those things.
The Underhill King is sort of I'll read his description too. It is the court of the Underhill King that lies beneath the mountain, its low ceilings made of knotted roots filling the thick air with the smell of rain. The king himself sits atop his burial site, adorned with sacrifices from ancient secret worshippers and massive horns bursting from his head. He is the lord of all death. Some say the Lindworm was once his lover. He is the one who carries anger, pride, authority, and the wisdom of an ancient god of death.
I like confront the weak.
That is a very evocative one. I was going to say, intentionally or unintentionally, he has ripped love away.
Are we picking two?
Yeah, we're picking two. So confront the weak is a good one. And yeah, return to glory, fight all, rip love away, conquer, or assert power.
I agree. I think he is also love away.
Agreed. Rip okay. That love away.
All right. I'm kind of picturing with confront the weak and, you know, stop me if this doesn't feel right, but maybe it's not like, you know, you're weak and thus you must die. It's more like, you are weak and what is coming is strong, and I must challenge you now so that you aren't defeated in the future. And love is a distraction to that end.
Nice.
Very, very, I was going to say like Dumbledore. Like,
yeah.
Must like kind of train you for this horrible, horrible time in your life.
Aesthetic elements. We've got old camp patches, a court of fawns, petroglyphs, rotting skin, rotting fruit, antlers adorned with bones, a rusted blade, a massive tree, flickering torches, a parade of ghosts or dancing spirits.
I think the parade of ghosts would match with the... Yeah.
Yes.
I was kind of liking the rusted blade.
Love it.
But I do also like the old camp patches as an idea, so I'm wondering if maybe like as like a sign of his favor, he hands all of you like old, like slightly mildewed patches that have the camp's name, whatever it is, because we still haven't come up with a name for the camp. But they look very like 1960s, like, or maybe just like different decades. Like the style and the whole makeup of them is just, it's old, they're old camp patches. And these are sort of like a token of, you know, the Underhill King was here.
I have a por qué no los dos moment.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? You have this like leather strap around your chest that carries the blade, or he does, that rusted blade. And along the leather are these old camp patches.
Ooh, I love that.
And I like the idea of him like ripping them off.
Cutting them free with the rusted blade.
Yes.
I like that a lot. And I think these are just like, you know, like not tokens of his favor and not tokens of his, like you know, I will come to you if you need me. It's more like we have met and I have warned you that you are not strong enough, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what he says as he hands them over.
Sorry, Chris, were you going to say something?
No, that was just me acting out the deep breathing of my character.
How do we get stronger?
He pauses for a moment and... I'm trying to decide whether we want to go, like, way into the, like, folklore-y creature-y elements, or if we want to just be, like, you know, or if he just wants to be real cryptic.
Flip a coin.
I was going to say he could be kind of cryptic and just say, like, you have taken the first step. You must question the answer of the rabbits. And you must find the true stars. These will, in and of themselves, not make you stronger, but the journey will get you there. And the one that I am keeping, when once they are ready, perhaps they will be there to help.
So, Jet can come back.
The king doesn't even respond, just kind of, you know, stares at you with these hollow deer skull eyes.
Still a sniffling mess after the short-lived cry session. Sabrina's gonna wipe her eyes and kind of, to no one in particular, I'm so tired of all of these cryptic riddles, and nothing ever is straightforward here, and I'm exhausted, and what are we gonna do?
We're gonna solve it.
I imagine that there's this point where Sean and Sabrina are talking, and Achille feels some weight lifted and will open her eyes, and then there's nothing to see. The Underhill King is not there anymore, following the phrase, "We will solve it," if that feels right.
Yep, I think so. I think I was going to say one of the like prompts is you give the Underhill King away and, you know, sort of exit the scene or whatever when people leave the dead behind. And perhaps that is the moment that we have reached.
I imagine if folks are okay with returning to the camp, maybe in leaving the dead behind, we return to the camp. We are in this odd space where the sky is like maybe red and orange, but also there's some stars. It's a very confusing time. And I imagine Achille will sit on the edge of the forest, kneeling and with his feet beneath him, and just look out into the forest and say, "Tomorrow at dawn, in the hour when the countryside becomes white, I will leave. You see, I know that you are waiting for me. I will go to the forest. I will go to the mountain. I cannot stay away from you any longer. I will walk with my eyes fixed on my thoughts without seeing anything outside, nor hearing any noise. Alone, unknown, the back curved, the hands crossed. Sad, for me, the day will be like the night. I will not look at the gold of the evening which falls, nor the faraway sails descending. And when I arrive, I will put on your tomb a green bouquet of holly and flowering heather." And then, like, resolute, stand and go back to the cabin to begin packing all of their things for what lies ahead.
Follow Achille back, head down, not quite sure what's going to come next.
Chet's gone, says they can't do anything.
No words of wisdom from the afterlife.
Grim's like, they dead. Like, I don't.
Oh, what scene? Should we do, like, another scene next? I'm Oh.
I mean, we can end on that note because I think we've been going for a little over an hour now, too. If that feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
We can. And I will put forth the suggestion. I like bookends. So maybe since this whole harebrained scheme to go into the forest started during an evening around the campfire, we will return to an evening without at the campfire without one of our counselors.
I love it. So we're back at the camp, right? Back at the camp, around the campfire?
Yep. I was going to say, for sake of, because I think I had the lantern, Jet's backpack was there when you returned, but Zay weren't, so you've got maybe Jet's backpack is kind of like at the edge of the camp, of the campfire.
Oh, wow.
At this point, I don't think anybody even questions how that got there, like, 2 days by what's happened, and also everything that happens here all the time. What's a backpack? It happens.
Yeah, I think we can call it there.
I just... I was like, oh, look, Jet is so cute with his little shovel. Now he's
so
gone.
Cute! Oh, no!
Oh, no!
The trail mix was so adorable, and we murdered you so hard.
But, like, truth be told, like, Mickey said that, and I was like,
maybe it's
thinking the same thing.
It also crossed my mind.
are we all thinking the same thing?
If we were all thinking it, then it was time for Jet to die.
Yep.
It was time.
And I have been planning this.
That's...
As we're still recording, I have been planning this.
They will be missed.
I got a plan.
This is consensual murdering of a character.
Yes, yes.
Violently and horribly in the most tragic way.
Right, exactly. Just, you know, vanishing.
Oh.
All right, I'm going to stop the recording.
And Chris, can I just say also, like, amazing. I loved your concept and how you role-played it out for us and narrated it. Really cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool stuff.
I was, like, sleeping, and I was, like, thinking about the game, and I was like, oh my god, we're going to go dig up a grave, and I was like, what if? I know I kind of created a time paradox, because I'm not sure if it was the live version or the dead version of Alphonse that was burying the other Alphonse, and then also Alphonse died in the ditch, so, like, how is any of this possible? But it doesn't matter.
Because
I was really into it either way, because I was like, I don't know how it's possible, and which Alphonse was that? Or was it the Lindworm burying Alphonse's clothes? I don't know.
Mm.
Who knows?
The world may never know. On behalf of Chris and Em and Mickey and myself, I want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Roll Less Taken Campfire. We've been playing Sleepaway with the Uncanny expansion by Jay Dragon of Possum Creek Games. You can get more information on that game in the show notes. Check us out on Twitter. We are at Roll Less Taken with no the. We're on Instagram at The Roll Less Taken and Facebook as The Roll Less Taken. And for those playing along at home, that's Roll with an E. Rate and review us on Podchaser on iTunes, and please tell your friends about the show. That really helps us out. We're all word of mouth, so the more you can spread the word, the more we can keep making episodes. And until our next episode, stay safe and don't get eaten by the Lindworm.